Broadcasting live from the San Diego Marriott Marquis and Marina, it's CEO Exclusive. Now here's your hosts, Mark Borelli and Soini Koch.
Hi, we're broadcasting live from the Vistage Executive Summit here at CEO Exclusive Radio. And I'm Soini Koch, and I'm delighted to have with me my co-host, Mark Borelli, and our guest for this segment, Tom Loban, a property and commercial tax principal at Ryan, a global tax services firm. Tom, I'm really delighted to have you with us in this segment.
Thank you. It's great to be here. I actually started early this morning. It's my first experience with Vistage, and it's been, just been a wonderful day.
All right. Tell us a little bit about Ryan, what you do, and then why have you had such a great day?
At Ryan, we're a global tax services firm only. So we don't do audits or any other thing. We are the seventh largest corporate tax company in the U.S. We just celebrated our 25th anniversary. We've got about 2,100 employees, and we recently made the Fortune Top 100 Companies to Work For. And actually, this month, we were nominated to be number one in workplace flexibility, which is, I think, is terrific in today's world of trying to retain talent. My role is I was the leader of the Commercial Property Tax Consulting Group. We are the largest commercial property tax practice in North America. I had about 280 people in the U.S. and another 100 in Hyderabad, India, which allowed us to be a 24/7 operation.
Great, great, great. And so you said you had a great day today?
I had a great day today. I think the speakers were really genuine. I learned things, which is always a wonderful thing. I think some of the positive points that I came away with is how important trust is in establishing trust not only with your clients but suppliers and your peers and your coworkers and those who work for you.
Okay, and I wanted to ask you a question we've been asking everybody on the show. What is it, if you look at the audience here, middle market CEOs, what is it, given your expertise in commercial property tax, that they should be worried about, concerned about, or think about as they look at that area?
I think right now, if you look at 2016, I think it's a pivotal year in commercial real estate. And what we see are prices that are 17% higher than the commercial prices in 2017.
7017. 17 or 70? What, you said 70% higher?
17%.
17.
17.
Okay.
17, I'm sorry. And right now, at the end of 2005, there was $1.7 trillion in commercial loans outstanding. And we're hearing about the Fed officials talking about a commercial real estate bubble. Trends are, as far as rents or prices, have been declining since December 2015. Capital markets are becoming much more restrictive on their lending. Instead of giving you a loan at 75% loan to value, it's more 65 to 70%. And instead of 5 to 10 years loan, they're shrinking that to 3 to 5 years. Well, they're doing that because they don't want to bear the risks of the rent roll turnover. So what I would recommend to your CEOs is if you're planning an investment, whether you're renting or potentially buying a property, I wouldn't make a long-term investment right now. I would make it something that's more a 3 to 5 year horizon.
So so do you think that we're in a bubble?
I think we're approaching one. Okay. Because rents, prices are all leveling off and the capital markets are constraining. Now, the only opposite effect of that is we do have a lot of countries with negative interest rates. So they're chasing yields. And what better place to put your money than U.S. real estate, particularly commercial real estate, if you have large sums to invest.
So do you think CEOs should maybe wait the bubble out if they can?
I think, if you're looking to rent or you're rolling over your lease, maybe push that for 6 months, 12 months, and just see how the rest of the year plays out. Because I think you're going to go from a landlord or a seller market to more of a buyer renter market as we progress through 2016 and certainly in 2017.
Well, I think that would be very helpful for a lot of CEOs because I know a lot are considering doing something in the middle market as their businesses have grown since the Great Recession. And quite a few people I know now, squeezing at the seams and like looking for new properties.
Mm-hmm. How will the valuation trends affect taxes. So, you know, you're in the tax world, so, you know, we have the yeah.
If you own your own building and or if you rent your entire facility and you have the appeal rights to that building, one of the things you have to look for are tax savings through the appeal process. Throughout the U.S., most of the county governments allow for administrative hearings. You don't have to file a lawsuit and go to court. You can file these administrative hearings based on the appeal deadlines. And the important aspect to remember is that properties are typically valued across the U.S. as of January 1st, the lien date, and it's based on fee simple unencumbered versus lease fee estate. And the important distinction there is it doesn't matter what your contract rents are. It's what are the market rents as of January 1st. So if we have a declining rents over time from now through 2017, 2018, you could potentially look for an opportunity to save some money by appealing your property. The other option is if you have large investments in business personal property, you know, you might have obsolescence issues, whether they be functional or economic, but that's if you have significant investments in business personal property.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, just to turn the conversation a little bit, today we've been, you know, talking with CEOs about leadership and running their companies and things like that. So after having gone through all the speakers and hopefully made some new friends here at the Executive Summit, what are some of the recommendations on leadership and running your practice that you're going to take back after today?
Well, I think being a consultant, one of the most important character ingredients that you want to come away with is to always be a trusted business advisor and to really be transparent in your advice and learn and listen well. I think I heard a lot of that about CEOs. Instead of pushing people and telling everybody what to do, they took a much different approach and listened more and asked more questions and then came up with solutions through a collaborative process.
Mm. And that, I think that's an interesting point. I've heard that from a few people. So we had a speaker or CEO earlier who talked about finding the bliss in your employees and getting them to give you that feedback. So I think that's a great message to take back. It's maybe easier to say than implement, but especially in a large organization like Ryan, but I'm sure you'll give it a good shot if you use it.
Absolutely. And Ryan, we're really proud of the flexibility that we provide our workforce. And we've been nominated in many cities as one of the top firms to work for.
Mm. And so trust is a big word, you know, empathy, listen. These are all, you know, kind of good big concepts. But how do you actually operationalize them? So when you talk about building trust and becoming a trusted advisor, what does that actually look like?
Well, with my clients, it's certainly when we go through the appeal determination process, I do that with them. You know, they live and breathe their properties, so they know all the nuances that would affect fair market value. So it's important to them to be part of the business decision. I think that's also true with my staff and my management team. You know, I want them to be part of the business decision process.
And so what's your approach to leadership? What's your leadership philosophy if you have one?
I would say my philosophy really is to be kind to others from the standpoint of when I first started my career, I was overbearing and authoritative.
Really?
And now I've learned over time that's not a leader. Maybe you have that title, but you will never retain quality people who want to team up with you on a long-term basis.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting you've talked about your flexibility within the firm. You got awards for that. And I think this is fascinating coming from a tax firm, which you would never think of that as being part of. How did you develop that? I mean, what led to you said when you started out, you're authoritarian. So I'm sure the culture you walked into when the firm was started wasn't quite like it is today. And what's led to that migration?
Well, to be really honest with you, this phenomenon actually occurred before we became part of Ryan. Historically, I've worked in the Big Eight firm. I've worked in a large publicly held company. And with the millennial generation and with technology, you have much more flexibility than you'd had historically. You know, you really needed to be in the office to interact. But in today's world, with web meetings and conference calls, it's just so much easier to allow that flexibility. And it's just so important to meet the demands and needs of all the different employees, whether they be single mothers or whatever push comes to shove, that they need some time to take out during the day to maybe take care of a personal matter. And if you build trust, you can rely on them, because at the end, you're still going to look for profitability and revenue growth at the end of the day.
And it's interesting. So you talked about this period, or you didn't talk about it, so I'm going to ask about it. But you said that you were overbearing, and I don't know what the other word was, but how did you go through that personal transformation?
Well, fortunately, they sent me for coaching.
That's so, really honest.
So training does work. And I'll never forget, because I went to this program and my wife picked me up at the airport. And I said, honey, you won't believe it. This was just transformational for me. And she's looking at me. She goes, uh-huh. I said, yeah, I realized that I'm not a good listener. And she just started laughing. And to this day, we still joke about it. She said, the light bulb finally came on. Thank you.
So any final recommendations for our audience?
I would say, from a property tax standpoint, do the basic blocking and tackling. Get a compliance calendar to make sure that you're filing your business personal property returns timely. You're making your payments on time, because the penalties and interest are really something you don't want to incur. They could be as high as 10% of your annual taxes. And then look for tax savings opportunities through the appeal process. 90% of the appeals that we file are negotiated prior to ever going to a formal hearing.
Great. Well, thank you so much for taking your time out to be with us here on CEO Exclusive Radio today.
It was my pleasure, and thank you for the opportunity.
This show is brought to you by Annona Enterprises, where strategy is your access to money and performance. Learn more at annonaenterprises.com.